You would think that Jonah, after a series of miracles in his life, would have become a transformed man. Sadly, that was not the case. The Old Testament book that bears his name begins and ends in a spirit of rebellion. Well, today on Insight for Living, and through Wednesday of this week, Chuck Swindoll presents his final message in his brand new 9-part series on Jonah. In this closing study, we'll summarize Jonah's attempt to run from God and look for ways to avert the patterns that marked his life. Chuck titled today's message, Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher.
If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. It occurs to me there is great value in the word now. It was A.W. Tozer who once wrote, "We think of ourselves as inhabiting some parenthetic interval between the God who was and the God who will be. But in this ever-present now, we are lonely with that ancient and cosmic loneliness." All the more important to place emphasis on now, deciding now, loving him now, committing ourselves to his will now. Something Jonah never learned, never modeled. We have been working our way through this strange little 48-verse book, and can easily be read in 4, 5, 6 minutes. And I find each time when I get to the end of each chapter, I sigh. Because I feel he's not getting it. He's just not getting it. And you have to wonder, how is it that God would include this in the canon of Scripture? God knew what he was doing. He was writing the biography of many a soul who lives now. I want to read just a selection from Jonah briefly. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, verse 1, chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish, bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Verse 17, "Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights." Chapter 2, verse 7, "As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. My earnest prayer went out to you." Verse 9, "I will offer sacrifices to you. I will fulfill all my vows." Verse 10, "The Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, deliver the message I've given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh. Verse 10, when God saw that they had what they had done, how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah. He became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran away to Tarshish. Verse 10. And the Lord said, you feel compassion about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has thousands of people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I have compassion for such a great city? My hope is that we will learn what Jonah never learned, and that is some timeless lessons the Lord would have us hear and heed in the last few moments we're together.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now let's begin the message called Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher.
Sermon titles are important. Just as you would not think of having a brand new baby and not naming the child, so sermons need titles. They need names. And some of the names that have been given to sermons have outlived the ones who preach them by decades, even centuries. Who will ever forget the title of Martin Luther King Jr.'s sermon that he preached in the shadow of the Lincoln Memorial? I Have a Dream. And along with his title, S.M. Lockridge's title, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. To this day, people remember those words, and they're repeated. The beloved chaplain of the Senate, the late Peter Marshall, for a Mother's Day message, told the story of this ranger that sort of spent his time in the back part of the forest, keeping the stream clean and free from silt, so the village down below could enjoy fresh and clean water. It was a Mother's Day message, which he titled, The Keeper of the Springs. I still remember his gospel message, Mr. Jones, meet the master. Simple, but vivid. And who can ever forget Clarence Edward McCartney's message title, which he lifted from the words of Paul to Timothy while Paul was in the dungeon awaiting his death, as he titled his message, Come Before Winter. One of my profs at seminary chose a chilling title for his biographical message on Judas. He titled it, Postmortem of a Suicide. You don't forget that title. Believing in their importance, I always spend time pondering the title for every sermon I preach. I'm so involved in the content of the message that I sometimes, in choosing the title, forget what that title may be saying to someone who is not at all acquainted with the content of the message. Take today's title, Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher. A day after I chose that title, I smiled as I thought about an imaginary event that could take place the following Sunday, which would be today, when one of our ushers is showing a first-time visitor to the seat and then hands him or her one of the programs, one of the bulletins, and says, "Oh, look, this is your lucky day. Our pastor is giving his personal testimony." Lessons learned from a stubborn preacher. Well, for once, it isn't about me. It is about a really, really stubborn man who never got it. Never got it. And you know, you would think that since Jonah was a prophet, you would think that somewhere along the way, as he was poring over the scriptures that he had in his day, whatever the scrolls were that were extant at the time, it would have gotten through to him. For example, I think about the essentials you glean from just exposure to the Word of God. Three come to mind. You discover first what's essential to know about God Himself. The scriptures are like a vault of truth that is profound. You learn from the Bible what no other book can tell you. You learn who He is, you learn what He does. And while the book may not take away all of the mystery, it at least opens up the caverns of bewilderment so that God becomes real. And we realize that He means business. I love the words of A.W. Tozer, who said on one occasion, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And you know, when you gain that kind of understanding of the Lord Himself, you gain an inner security that doesn't come naturally to any of us. You no longer are afraid of God. He's not one to be afraid of. We fear Him as we worship Him, but we are not afraid of Him. We stand in awe of Him in our worship, but we stand near Him knowing He is our very best advocate and friend. We learn that from the scriptures. We learn about the Lord God. We also discover essential things about ourselves. The Bible tells us how we were made, how God put us together, explains to us why we do what we do. So that takes away a lot of the question of our nature. We learn from studying the scriptures those things in ourselves we need to cultivate and those things within ourselves that we need to correct. We need to stop doing because they're unhealthy. So by learning more of the scriptures, we become self-aware, which is an unusual trait in our day. So we get security because we learn about God. We gain self-awareness because we learn about ourselves and the things that we do and why we do them. And we also discover the essentials that relate to other people. God's word gives us an understanding of one another. We learn the truth about others. We learn there are those we can trust and those we cannot. We learn that there are those who are deceiving and treacherous and dangerous and unreliable and unwise, and they should not be close friends, or it will damage our character. But it doesn't mean we turn them off. It means we do our best to help influence them toward another kind of lifestyle, which we learn about again from the scriptures. You see, all of this provides discernment. Get the pattern? We gain security from the scriptures, learning about God. We gain self-awareness from the scriptures as we learn about ourselves. And we gain discernment from the scriptures as we learn about others. Having said all of that, had Jonah's life been marked by a constant study of the scriptures and absorption of the scriptures, he would have responded in a completely different way. But because obviously his life was not marked by that, he never got it. He missed it all. The main reason, of course, was that Jonah was too important to Jonah. And I think if Jonah were in the audience today and would allow me to finish, I think Jonah would have to agree the lessons that I'm going to point out here were lessons he missed, tragically. And even more so that we would miss. Since we have a Bible in our own language, we've been spending our time through these several messages, through these 48 verses, and we have carefully allowed the scriptures to speak for themselves, that we might learn from them. I find four very helpful principles or lessons that we can learn from this book. Unfortunately, Jonah failed to learn even one of them. That is, he really didn't learn them permanently. There may have been glimpses, but they were not permanent lessons that he learned. I smiled as I was talking with my wife Cynthia this morning over coffee about today's message. We sometimes do that on Sunday mornings. We'll go over things I plan to say, and she always is a great listener, which I appreciate. And she acts like she's interested. I hope she is. I think she is. And we'll often have very insightful comments to make. And I made the comment to her, isn't it amazing that the book has been preserved for all time, and yet it's a book about how not to live your life? It's a book where a man appears who did almost everything he did wrong. He never got it. Nevertheless, I think there are lessons to learn through the back door if we're willing to open the package and see it for ourselves. I've given you a little outline that's got a lot of blank space on it. You're free to write these if you wish to, or simply listen, whatever you prefer. These are not inspired. They're simply thoughts that came to me when I went through the four chapters, which I will do with you in the brief time we have that remains. Each chapter yielding another lesson from the story of a stubborn preacher. Chapter 1 seems to teach us this. Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility. Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility. Jonah's attempt was was amazing. I mean, he didn't wait around to run from the Lord. He did it immediately. Soon as he heard, go to Nineveh, he made plans to go to Tarshish, opposite direction. His escape was immediate, not delayed. It was brash, not subtle. It was deliberate, not uncertain. He knew exactly what he was doing. I'm out of here. Didn't Jonah know that you can't flee from omnipresence? Didn't it dawn on him that wherever he went, there would be God? He had the Psalms. Surely he had read, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up into heaven, you're there. If I go into the depths of the earth, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn," meaning they travel the speed of light and go to the remotest part of the sea, "even there you are." Surely Jonah knew that. He blanked it out. You can blank all of that out. You can know and yet not really know it, because you don't want to believe it. So I speak today, I believe, to a few of you who are running or attempting to run from God. It's futile. I'll save you a lot of heartache by telling you on the front end of your run, God will have his way, all your running notwithstanding. It's a waste of your time to run from him. I know, because I've tried too. Like every one of us at one time or another. And it never works. Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility.
There's not a place on earth where we can hide from God's presence. Running from him is futile. He's everywhere. You're listening to Insight for Living, and this is Chuck Swindoll's ninth message in a brand new 9-part series on Jonah, concluding on Wednesday of this week. To learn more about this ministry, visit us at insightworld.org. Chuck, as we prepared this program behind the scenes, I noticed that this broadcast is program number 10,911. That's quite an achievement. You know, we've never missed a single day since program number one aired the first Monday in July of 1979.
That's right, Dave. We're reaching another milestone. In July, Insight for Living will be celebrating 40 years of God's faithfulness. Isn't that amazing? From its inception back in 1979, this Bible teaching program has served at the will of our listening audience. In fact, the sound of my voice would never leave the walls of the church where I preach every Sunday morning were it not for the collective generosity of people like you. In that sense, nothing has changed in 40 years. You see, God is the one who transforms lives, but he has divinely chosen to use people. People just like you and me to partner with him, and to do so by giving generously. The cost of our daily programs on radio and all the other resources we freely provide to our listening family are completely covered by the voluntary donations of grateful listeners. And so today, I am boldly inviting you to celebrate God's faithfulness over 40 years by sending a most generous gift in support of Insight for Living Ministries. Our desire is to close our financial books on June the 30th with all our expenses for this 39th year completely covered. I'm forthright in soliciting your help, because I know that God will use your contribution to touch some unsuspecting person who comes our way and hears the truth of his word. That's been our experience now for 40 years. We've heard from countless thousands who have told their personal stories of life change as the result of something they've heard on our Insight for Living outreach. As we reach this milestone of four decades together, please pick up the phone or, if you prefer, go online or write a letter today. Let me know through your generous gift that you're stepping into the future with us. I look forward to hearing from you very soon, and certainly before the 30th of June. That's our deadline, remember? Thanks so much.
You can choose from a variety of methods for responding to Chuck Swindoll. If you're listening to us in the United States and you prefer, pick up the phone and give us a call. Our number is 1-800-772-8888. Once again, 1-800-772-8888. Or give a donation online at insight.org. More and more people are listening to Chuck's teaching by using the convenient mobile app. And if you're listening to us in the United States, you can also make a connection with us by sending a text to 555-888 and typing the one word insight into your text box. Thank you for your generous support. We're grateful for your gift of any amount. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll uncovers several more lessons learned from a stubborn preacher. Join us again Tuesday to hear Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.